There are four big phone companies doing wireless in America, but it's now headed for just three. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. T-Mobile and Sprint have announced a nearly $27 billion merger. If antitrust regulators go with this, it would form a company about the size of rivals Verizon or AT&T. Now, this may seem familiar. Marketplace's Mariel Segarra explains.
In the past, deals between big cell phone companies have fallen apart because of federal regulators. In 2011, T-Mobile and AT&T tried to merge, but regulators blocked that deal. In 2014, T-Mobile considered buying Sprint, but backed off because it probably wouldn't get approval. And when the federal government blocks deals, it's trying to keep competition alive in the industry. You know, otherwise companies have less incentive to keep prices down. For the cell phone industry, the thinking has been that the U.S. needs four national cell phone companies, including T-Mobile and Sprint. Yesterday, though, T-Mobile's CEO argued that the industry has changed. Non-cell phone companies like Comcast have started offering wireless services, and cell phone companies like T-Mobile are trying to expand their home internet services. So he's saying there's a lot more competition now.
All right, Mariel, thank you. Let's check the numbers. The 100-share index in London is up 0.5%. So's the NASDAQ future for the U.S. The Dow future up 0.4%. Big stories. We're watching this week the guardians of interest rates at the Fed will meet starting tomorrow with an announcement on what you'll pay to borrow things on Wednesday. Also, the Trump administration is sending the U.S. Treasury Secretary and others to China this week to talk tariffs with a new wrinkle. The administration is considering a hurdle for Chinese companies in the U.S. that would match something the Chinese have been doing for years with U.S. companies there. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer has more.
Say you want to start a bank in China. Beijing requires you to work with a Chinese company, and it has to own more than half of the bank you're opening. Those limitations are pretty standard for U.S. investors in China. Henrietta Trays of Veda Partners says President Trump wants to copy that.
For the United States to do to China exactly as China does to us.
But that could backfire. China invests billions here, and it could decide to just turn off the tap. Simon Lester is with the Cato Institute.
If there's a Chinese company who wants to buy an American company for $1 billion, that's good for the American company. The American company wants that $1 billion.
Lester says there are some legitimate concerns about China having too much access to U.S. intellectual property through its investments, but he doesn't think China will back down. He says, in general, it's better to file complaints with the World Trade Organization. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
You count on Marketplace to keep you informed about the economy and then some. And it's not only what we talk about, but how we talk about it in a practical, objective, and sometimes unexpected way. Now, we feel it's important work that we're already doing, but with your support, we can do more of it and reach more people as well. For as little as $5 a month, become a Marketplace investor. And right now, your donation will go twice as far thanks to a $4 match from Candida. Time's running out on that challenge, so if you could donate today at marketplace.org, and thank you for the support. Come for the commercials, stay for the actual shows. It is not your imagination, but more than 18% of every hour of broadcast TV is commercials, and that is on the rise. Janine Poggi's media reporter for Ad Age. Janine, thanks for coming around.
Thanks for having me.
I had seen some statistics that there really are more commercials if you watch commercial network TV. That's been the trend. But what, someone's trying to put a stop to this?
Yeah, I mean, commercial loads have been just ballooning over the last decade. It's kind of hard to watch some programming these days.
I looked it up, 11 minutes an hour in some cases.
And sometimes higher in certain cable networks. It could go up to as much as 15 minutes an hour, which is a ton when you're watching TV for an hour.
Come for the commercials, stay for the programming.
But now, you know, as more people are binge-watching shows with limited commercials or watching on Netflix where there are no commercials, there's really an intolerance for some of these, you know, commercial loads. So we're having some networks like NBC Universal and Fox who are rethinking the commercial model for next season and trying to bring those levels down a bit.
Well, one thing to do is jack up prices for the ads and have fewer of them if you can get the you know, the client to put up with.
That's what they're trying to do. So, you know, they need to make the economics work. The math still needs to work. They're not going to take less ad revenue, right? So instead, they are, you know, trying to figure out a way that makes ads more valuable for advertisers.
So what are some of the strategies then for making these ads more valuable?
Some of the things that Fox are doing is they are creating these like branded content pods. So they might have, you know, 3 to 5 minutes at the end of The Simpsons, let's say, for a brand to run a commercial that looks a little bit more like a long form piece of content.
Yeah, like Homer Simpson comes out, not Duff beer, but actual Budweiser. But those would be at the fringes of the show.
Right. So at the start of the show or at the end of the show, which makes sense. So you can watch the show with a little bit less commercials and then get those ads at the end of the program.
But we've all been there. I mean, because you get used to watching Amazon Prime and Netflix and the other streaming services that don't have ads at all. Or you have a DVR where you hit fast forward when you see the ads. I know we're not supposed to say this in front of advertisers, but why not? And so I guess maybe even our at a time when the commercial loads are going up, the suggestion is maybe our tolerance is going down.
Advertisers realize that, too. They know that there's a value in being in a program that has fewer commercials. You know, you can, if you're sitting there and you're a consumer, there are less commercials on, you might be able to recall the messages that you saw better. So advertisers know that there's value there. The question is, what is the value and what is the pricing that's going to go along with that?
Janine Poggi, media reporter for Ad Age. Thank you.
Thank you.
And I don't know if you saw that photo op the other day, the Trumps and the Macrons planting an oak tree on the White House lawn. The sapling was from the site of a World War I battle where 2,000 U.S. soldiers died. Now, the French president brought it as a gift, but reporters noticed the tree was missing this weekend. Where there was a tree, there's just a patch. Turns out the little oak is in an official U.S. agriculture quarantine for now. Look up the history of European imports like black currants, which are still banned in some U.S. lumber-producing states. Then there was the load of logs from the Netherlands in 1928 with the Dutch elm disease. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.